I just want to start out by saying that I know that this week has been challenging for many of you, many attached to this community. I've heard countless stories of just things going on in the lives of the people here at Orem's and things going on in the lives of other churches, too. Through my schooling, I've heard so many stories of people dying, of people being sick, of people facing all sorts of situations this week, and it's hard. So I just want you to know that even in all of that, I want you to know that you're not alone. I want you to know that you aren't alone and that we're all in this together. We're all in this together. And we need each other to make sure that we're lifting each other up in prayer. And I've been praying, and I know that so many of you have too. And I want you to know that God is with you. That God is with us here in this place. So let's glorify God's name and celebrate the hope that we do have in Jesus today. Even with all that other stuff going on in our lives, we still have a hope in Jesus Christ. So let us give thanks to God for the life that God has given us. Let us be thankful for His grace through which we can have our hope in salvation. So let us pray. God of ages, we come before you this morning to praise you. We thank you so much for all of the good things that you've been doing in our lives, all of those things that bring us joy, even in the midst of the other things that try to detract from that joy. But Lord, we pray that you would comfort us, that you would bring us peace even in the midst of all that. That you would speak to us here today, that you would give us a good word, that you would bring us some hope, that you would restore us and lead us into a season of joy and of hope in you, that we just shine, that we just reflect your light because our mirrors have been cleansed off, so that we can just point people to Christ just by the way that we live and the way that we act and the way that we speak. Lord, we pray that somehow, some way, that a word could be brought forth from that which you have given me to present this morning. God, move me out of the way. Wash me clean. And bring forth a good word for your people today. We thank you, Lord. And we lift this prayer up to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, I was thinking about some of my joyful times this week. Joyful times of my life. And some of those most joyful times have been on my birthdays, right? Especially when I was younger. I think it was Charlotte West last week who lifted up her joy for the week as being birthday celebrations with the family. And birthday celebrations with family are great, but birthday celebrations are always great, at least especially when you're a kid. I remember when I was 4 years old, when I just turned four, I was so excited. I remember this pretty clear. My parents, they gave me a Spider-Man and a Captain America action figure for my birthday. They gave it to me for my birthday. It was the best birthday present ever. They were just these little action figures, and there wasn't anything really else, but it was the best present ever. And they were action figures, too. Some people try to say dolls, but no. They were action figures, okay? They were action figures, and they went with me everywhere, and they were my favorites. And so birthdays, and let's be honest, some of the presents that we receive during our birthdays, right, they're pretty exciting. They're pretty cool. It's exciting to open up the present, to tear open the package and see what's inside. The other interesting thing about birthday presents in particular is that you don't really earn them. You don't really earn them. People just love you and they give you what they want you to have because they love you. It isn't about what you do so much, typically, but it's about how much you're loved. And so birthday presents are pretty cool. Now, today's passage is about our salvation as Christians. And it's generally believed that this is one of Paul's, Ephesians, is one of Paul's last letters written somewhere around 64 A.D. And he wrote it to the church in Ephesus, a church that he helped to actually start. And Paul's letter seems to be reminding the believers of their faith, of their salvation, and to seek unity amongst all of its members within the church. And in this passage specifically, Paul is reminding the Ephesians that they've not always been so good, right? Their past, like so many of our past, were filled with living according to the passions of their flesh, it says in verse 3. It says, following the desires of the flesh and senses, and they were by nature children of wrath, just like everyone else. And so Paul was reminding them. Paul was reminding them that just as we need to sometimes be reminded, that they were lost once, that they were broken once, that they were full of sin and living how they wanted to live all of the time. In a word, they weren't so godly, they weren't so Christian, they weren't so great, they weren't so what God was calling them to be. And so Paul in this letter is reminding them to be humble. He was trying to humble them. And so I want to say, don't we all need to be reminded sometimes to be humble in our faith? It's so easy to look at our neighbors and to think, they aren't, that person isn't a very good person. They're mean, they cuss, they say all of these things, they get drunk, they do all of these things that I would never do. But in reality, as Paul says here in this passage, and as Paul says in Romans 2, he says essentially that we are not any better than they are. And we were once that sinful too, where the enemy was in control of us, and we sought to do the same things or actions just like those neighbors that were so quick to call out. See, Paul had to humble them because he needed to put them in their place, essentially, so that he could remind them of their hope in Jesus. And he does this in the next verse. He says in verses 4 through 6, really. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, he says. And with Christ, and raised us up with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, it's this concept of grace that Paul can lift the Ephesians back up. He put them in their place down low, and then he wants to lift them back up with this grace. And it's this concept of grace, and through grace, God's grace in particular, that we can definitely have a hope in Jesus Christ. And so what is grace? What is grace, you know? We throw it around a lot. It's a theological concept that I think many people would have a difficult time defining. In the New Living Translation of this passage in verse 5, it says, it translates grace as being God's special favor. Essentially, it's an unmerited favor for each of us. John Wesley, the father of Methodism, believed in three forms of God's grace, and he cited these regularly in his sermons and his writings. He said that there is prevenient grace, which is the grace that God has for all people, that tugs on their hearts before they even know about God. And it calls them to know God through creation and then drives them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So after prevenient grace, there's justifying grace, which is the grace that we receive when we confess Christ as Lord. And then we move into the third realm of grace, which is sanctifying grace. So after we believe, sanctifying grace is where we go. We move, as Wesley would put it, on the path to perfection. That is, sanctifying grace through the power of the Holy Spirit allows us to move to be more Christ-like. And so what does all that mean? What does all that mean? What does that boil down to? What's the easiest way to put it? Well, it's kind of like a birthday present. It's kind of like your birthday present or mine. Remember the Spider-Man and the Captain America? I didn't earn them. I never did. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hoped that my parents would get me something cool. I had the faith that they would do it for me. But I probably drove my parents crazy at times. I can't imagine that I listened to everything they said all the time and actually did it, you know? I'm sure I didn't earn those figures. And yet, they gave them to me anyway. That's salvation through Jesus Christ. We can't earn it, but by God's grace, through our faith in Jesus, we've been given salvation. We have been saved when we believe. We can't earn it, as Paul says here in verses 8 and 9. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, and not the results of works, so that no one may boast." It isn't our own doing. It's a gift of God. It's a present from God that has eternal joy for those who have received it through their faith by God's grace. It's so much cooler than even Spider-Man and Captain America, you know, those little figures, and it's forever. It's forever. Not like those little figures that I probably lost in a shopping cart at Kmart when I was 5, you know. It's forever. It's like a birthday present that you really don't deserve. And it's the best one ever. And here's the thing. Anyone can have it. You just have to confess Jesus as Lord. Believe in your heart in his resurrection, and you can receive salvation through the grace of God. And look, I don't know how all of you are doing with your faith. I know little pockets of little things. I know what you share with me. I really don't know where you are in your walk with Christ individually. I see everyone getting along pretty well. But we have this tendency to compare ourselves with others, like our neighbors, for instance. And we think that we're better very easily. It just seems human nature to do that. But I say, don't compare yourselves with others. Let Christ search your heart. You know, maybe you don't have much of a relationship with Jesus right now. Maybe you wish that you had the relationship that you had with him in the past, but you just don't feel right. You feel far away. You feel like you've messed up or something, doing this or that. Maybe you feel like you aren't perfect, and sometimes you feel like you, in order to be a real Christian, whatever that means, that you need to be perfect. But here's the best part. One of the reasons for our hope is that we don't have to be perfect for God to love us or to be a Christian. I want to tell you that if you fell down, that you screwed up, that you committed this or that sin, I want to tell you to go to God. Because God's grace is good for that. Go to Jesus. Even if you've done awful things that you wouldn't want anyone here or anyone in your lives to find out about, God's grace can deal with that too. And can get you on the path to healing and into a right relationship with Christ. And if you put that right relationship with Christ first, just watch all the other relationships in your lives fall in line. I'm telling you. You focus on Christ and your walk with him, and those other relationships fall into place. And maybe you just don't feel like you're worthy because you aren't perfect. Again, you mess up regularly. You still like to do the things. Tell me if you've ever felt this way, that you still like to do the things that you wish you didn't do, those sins. You still like to do them. You wish you didn't. You try not to because you know that they're wrong, but you still do them. Guess what? We all struggle with that. Even Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 24, that he struggled with that too. Doing the wrong things, the sinful things that he wishes he didn't do. And it reads, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know, in verse 18, that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right. I can know, saying essentially, I know what is right, but I can't do it. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. In verse 21, he says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand, for I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war within the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. 24. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? He asks. But our hope in Christ says that God can and will rescue us through God's grace that was revealed to us by a man who came, lived, died, and was resurrected for each one of us. The Son of God himself, in verse 25 of the same chapter, Paul answers his own question. He said, who will rescue me from the body of this body of death? And in 25, he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Jesus has already rescued us. Jesus is the Savior who saves us from ourselves. And oh, for sure, we're still, when we give our lives to Christ, we're not going to be perfect. We will still do things that we don't want to do. But by God's grace, we won't receive the just penalty for our sins if we just believe. We will be saved through our faith by God's grace. And so I just want to say to you today that wherever you are in your walk with God, whether you're just starting out, whether you've been a faithful disciple for all of your life, or even if you're just thinking about trusting in Jesus for the first time, I want you to just know that you don't have to be perfect to be a Christian. You just have to be willing to accept God's grace for your life. And he's reaching out his hand, and he just wants you to take it. He's given you a present that you don't deserve. But he loves you so much. He loves us so much that he just wants us to take that. Because he loves us so much. He just loves us so much. And so will you accept God's grace again today? Because it's only through God's grace revealed to us in Jesus Christ that we have hope. And what a hope it is. It's like the best present that you could ever get. And you know you don't even deserve it. But God loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son so that you and me could be saved if we just believe. And so that's grace. And through grace, we have a great hope in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the grace that you've given us, Lord. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in this moment. Each of us, convict us of those things in our lives that we don't want to accept your grace in. God, show us, give us the strength to accept your grace, to accept your love because you loved us first so that we can love you back, Lord, more fully with all the parts of our lives. God, help us to be more faithful disciples. Help us to commit our lives to you, Lord. Help us to be who you've called us to be, to reflect your light in this very dark world, Lord. Make us shine white and bright like the sun. We thank you for all you're doing in our lives. And we pray that you would change and transform us into the person and the people that you have called us to be. Amen.